I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello again, Pats pals and Foxborough friends. We welcome you to the latest and always greatest edition of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, brought to you by WEEI, WEEI.com, and Odyssey Sports. And boy, do we have a humdinger for you this week. That's right. The age of Hoya the Destroyer is upon us. I know your souls are as twisted as Mac Jones's ankle, but don't you worry. Jumbo Hart and I are here to help you.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Do get ready for what easily is going to not be the game of the century as the Patriots travel to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field to take on a potentially underrated Packers team. They're sitting at 2-1 in the season. Your Patriots are 1-2, coming off of a bummer, if you will, of a loss at home, 11 points to the Ravens. To give you an idea as to what's going on with the Packers out in the land of the cheeseheads, we're going to have the host of the Locked On Packers podcast, Peter Bukowski, to join us, tell us what's up with A.A. Ron and company and how they're preparing to defend against Brian Hoyer, Bill Belichick and company. Then Andy's going to get a chance to catch up with MassLive's Chris Mason on the Pats beat to get a feel for what's going on in Foxborough and who's going to be under center for the Pats this week. We all know it's going to be Brian Hoyer. And then lastly, Andy and I will give you our analysis and predictions for the big game Sunday at 4:25 from the frozen tundra. But first, we're Locked On Packers with Peter Bukowski. Pleased to be joined on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast in our Patriots at Packers preview by the host of the Locked On Packers podcast and also the man behind The Leap, one of the best fan sites full of analysis and so much more about the Green Bay Packers, the one and only Peter Bukowski. Peter, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today, buddy.
It's good to be here. It's a battle of accents. And I don't know who's got a better one, but it's two great ones in terms of, you know, one of my college roommates was from Gloucester. So I made fun of the way he talks and he made fun of the way I talk. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure what America loves or loathes more, saying like Packers or Packers. I mean, as somebody who's from the New England area, but who has family in Wisconsin, I know that America is kind of in their post-peak Affleck, like we're done with Boston and all of that charm, the Brady 20 years and the double dynasty. Like, I feel like there's an embrace of all things Wisconsin and Midwest these days.
They brought Fargo back, put it on TV. It's a great show. Like, come on. This is the Jeffrey Dahmer series just came out on Netflix. My dad used to get his razor sharpened at the same place that that guy used to get his knife sharpened. It's wild.
Wow. If there's one thing that's going to unite us all, it's an appreciation of a person who used to freeze and eat people. So, and speaking of getting frozen and getting eaten, the Patriots are going to Lambeau this weekend. So just to, before we get into how many points we think the Packers are probably going to win by this weekend, Peter, just give me like a state of the Packers right now. You know, does Coach Matt LaFleur, does he treat the first part of the season the same way Bill Belichick does, like extended preseason, feeling out the team to see where they are? Now, obviously, your quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, is healthy and is probably picking up steam, whereas the Patriots are kind of in turmoil with an injured starting quarterback right now. So what's the health of the Packers and where are they at heading into week four?
Yeah, I don't know if it's by design that Matt LaFleur does that. I don't know that Matt LaFleur necessarily wants to do that, but I think that's just, that's where this team has landed. And I think part of that is, and I'm sure, you know, Patriots players and coaches felt this too. When your focus is December, January, hopefully February, it makes sense that it's just sort of hard to get up for these week one games when you're being told all year, all off season that this is about Super Bowls. Okay. So then why do I care about week one? And the last 2 years, the Packers have come out pretty flat in week one. They also are on the "we don't play our guys" train in preseason. And Matt LaFleur acted like all summer he was going to change that. Like in training camp, he's like, "Well, I haven't made a decision yet. And the guys want to play." The defense wanted to play and then didn't. And then we saw what happened in week one. They didn't really play in week one either. Forgot Justin Jefferson was on the field like four or five times. And that's just not going to work. Part of that too, I think, you know, you look at the last 2 years, guys, Joe Barry in week one, the defensive coordinator, played this like very vanilla defense both years in week one. It's weird. And then immediately made adjustments in week two. And it's just sort of like, can you skip to the part where you do the thing, where you make the adjustments? And like, we know that the umbrella thing doesn't work. You can't just play the base vanilla the whole game. You need to add the chocolate chips and the sprinkles and the hot fudge and all the good stuff, especially when you have those guys. But the Seahawks did it for years with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and those teams. The Patriots seem to do it for years with Tom Brady, where they just like, not that they threw away the season, but what the Belichick line was always like, we don't know what we are until Thanksgiving, for crying out loud. So like, I don't think anyone should be concerned about the Packers, and they're healthy. That's the thing. David Bakhtiari back in a rotation that I've just never seen before, where they're just like, you get a series back and forth. It was like a college that had two quarterbacks and both of them kind of sucked, but you had to go back. Like, they had the passer quarterback and the running quarterback. It was a weird thing, but David Bakhtiari's injury has been weird. Like, it's been a bizarre 20 months of this guy not being on the field. So will he, won't he, will he play this week? He's probably going to play this week. Is he going to play the whole game? I have no idea. I don't know that Matt LaFleur has just gotten to the point where he's just like, I'm sick of the questions. We'll see is his answer to everything. Mm. And it's just sort of like, he's had enough, but he's also been burned. Like, we thought going into last year, training camp, David Bakhtiari, like, all signs pointed to him being ready for week one. And then he wasn't. And then he wasn't again. And then and it was just sort of like, when are we going to get to the point where he can do the thing? And they basically never did until week 18 now. I still can't get the 17 game schedule straight in my head. And so they come in, Jair Alexander coming off of a groin injury, but he practiced. So we'll see what his status is for this game. They come in pretty healthy. And coming off, at least defensively, what was a really good game against the Buccaneers. So, not the same sort of challenge this week, I don't think.
So Peter, the overwhelming story from afar looking at Green Bay was Davante Adams is gone. Aaron Rodgers is back. Who is Aaron Rodgers going to throw to? So I will ask that simple question. Who is Aaron Rodgers going to throw to? Who is he falling in love with, and who's he falling out of love with?
I thought you were going to say ayahuasca, so I appreciate you went Davante Adams there.
I'm probably going to need some ayahuasca after the game Sunday to be. I'm going to want to hallucinate, because that'll probably be the only way I think any Pats fan is going to appreciate it.
So Romeo Doubs is the answer. He is a fourth-round rookie out of Nevada who I don't know why he fell as far as he did. I think part of it, he's injured through the pre-draft process and didn't get to run for teams until late in the process. Ran in depending on who you ask, what I was told was high 4.4s. Some teams will tell you low 4.5s. He's faster than that. He looked faster than that in college, looked faster than that in training camp. He's dusting guys vertically, slot fades and just go balls on the outside. He is fast. Leads the Packers in targets so far this season. ESPN just came out with these cool metrics where they used like their tracking dots data. I don't get the technology, but they said he was one of the top 10 most open receivers through 3 weeks of the year. So they're finding ways to scheme him free. And then I think the big thing this week is Christian Watson, the second round rookie. He can absolutely fly. A 4.3 guy from North Dakota State. And I don't know that he wears number 9 because all he does is run 9 routes, but if that's the case, if that's why he picks number 9, good for him, because he just looks so fast. And you don't expect small school guys to get to the league. And on the first play of his NFL career, he runs right by Patrick Peterson. I don't know, Patrick Peterson's not what he was before, but like just cooks him. And in week 2 against Jalen Johnson, one of the better corners in the league, double move, he's open down the field. Now Rodgers went to Alan Lazard, picked up the first down, but this guy can push it vertically in a way that the Packers haven't had someone purely that fast, including Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who can threaten teams down the field, probably since Jordy Nelson, in terms of just like pure, like, oh crap. I don't know if I can swear on this podcast, but
yeah, go ahead.
The line that I've always loved from scouts is a guy has oh shit speed, mm-hmm. and Christian Watson has oh shit speed.
Yeah, and we have oh shit defenders, as in oh shit, that guy just ran by me as well. Although I will give him his props, Jonathan Jones, the slot cornerback who's been forced to the outside because the Patriots don't really have a number one cornerback. They just have a bunch of potentially shifty, good 5'9" and under cornerbacks. Actually, has rated out so far as Pro Football Focus's best or highest graded cornerback, which is terrific. And he's got great speed too. You know, they did a nice job bottling and containing Miami, only allowing 13 offensive points week 1. Week 2, they go up against the Trubisky tragedy by the Allegheny, and anybody should be able to hold them to 14 and under. And then last week they got roasted. Now, there's been internal debate, and I don't know, Andy, would you describe what's going on in New England right now as a civil war, if you will, between Patriots fans or Pats and team as to, is it the process and coordinators? Is it Mac making mistakes? You know, but there's a lot of infighting going on in New England. Would you say, Andy?
Certainly. In New England, outside of New England. I mean, Mike Lombardi joining into it. Like, if you blame the coaches, then you're being naive. And I think if you don't blame the coaches personally, you're being naive, Mike Lombardi. But yes, definitely some fighting going on in Patriot Nation.
Yeah, there is. Like, it's a good thing Mac Jones probably won't play this weekend, because if he didn't get his ankle rolled up by Calais Campbell last week, then all the buses that the Patriots threw him under, or at least that Mike Lombardi did, would have prevented him from playing as well. It's been rough. It's been really, really rough. And
are they calling it the Boston OC party?
Wow. No, but I am going to give you full credit. Now, Andy knows how much I love a good portmanteau and a pun, and he hates them, even though he makes as many dad jokes as I do. It's funny you say that, because my line this week, Peter, about Brian Hoyer, who I call Hoyer the Destroyer, you know, will he be the destroyer of the Packers or more likely the Patriots? We found out this week his name is Axel. His name is Axel Brian Hoyer.
I saw that.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, because there's no less hard rock looking a guy on planet Earth than Brian Hoyer. So my question has been, so after Sunday, is it going to be Axel throws or Axel blows? And I have a feeling if we get the Brian Hoyer from 2 years ago against the Chiefs, we're going to be in trouble. What do you think the Packers are preparing for, though, with the Patriots offense and likely Brian Hoyer under center?
Well, I think after a couple reps against this pass rush, he's going to have some axle grease in his pants, because this is not something that I think someone who can't really move, thank you, is going to be well equipped for. Kenny Clark has been as disruptive as an interior pass rusher as we have in the league. In a league where Aaron Donald is living and breathing and doing stuff, Kenny Clark has been incredibly productive. Rashawn Gary, I just saw this great stat from Matt Schneidman at The Athletic. Since the beginning of 2021, only Micah Parsons has been more successful as a pressure creator per snap than Rashawn Gary. He has turned into an absolute monster. And what's so funny, guys, is Chase Winovich was the guy that, if you were a college football fan, you're going, the Packers didn't even draft the best pass rusher on Michigan. And then Chase Winovich comes out, as you guys remember, I think he had like six sacks as a rookie. Like he looked like a nice player. And their paths could not have gone in more opposite directions. And Rashawn Gary has become this force. They had eight pressures last week against Tom Brady in a game in which he averaged under 2 seconds to throw the ball. If you can create pressure in under 2 seconds, like if they had been playing anyone but Tom Brady last week, they probably have six or eight sacks. And that's against Tristan Wirfs. And like at least the right side of that offensive line is pretty good. The left side is pretty bad right now. And so I think that they're going to be able to create a lot of pressure on this Patriots passing attack, such that we can call it an attack. But the run game is where the Packers are going to have to create something, because they have not been a good run defense this season. They've not been a good run defense over the last couple of years. They're 20th right now in EPA per play, which is up from where it was last week and the week before. And so if you're the Patriots, like that's how it's going to be, Ramondre and Damian Harris all day, right? Like that just has to be the way that they find a way to win this game. It's like the Jimmy Garoppolo 2019 NFC Championship game plan. Let Brian Hoyer throw the ball 12 times, run it for 200 yards if you can. And it, the Bills game plan from last year, right? Try and just make this about put three tight ends on the field and go, you know, throw back to like some wing T stuff from back in the day. Like that's sort of where you got to go on this, I think.
Yeah, Andy, I saw right before the podcast, Patriots are first in rush DVOA on offense, Packers last defensively. So you think that's what we're going to get?
And that's what, I mean, Patriots fans are talking themselves into, like, oh, we're going to run the ball. And you see the Packers, they're not really scoring points. Like this is doable. But what Fitzy left out earlier when he was bragging about Jonathan Jones' grade is he left out the Jalen grade on the other end of that. So, you know, that certainly some susceptibility in the back end of the Patriots. And what I want to ask you is, you mentioned the receivers, the young guys. I know Watson had an injury. He's coming back. Like internally, or even in Packer Nation, quote unquote, is there this feeling that this offense is starting to approach its stride, hit its stride, be capable of putting up points and taking advantage of the Patriots back end?
Yeah. When you saw them march down the field on two consecutive drives against Tampa Bay, you just sort of go, oh, okay. So this is what this offense can be. Right. And they're about to go in for that third touchdown, and Aaron Jones fumbles at the goal line. Pretty uncharacteristic for a player who has been absolutely on fire to start the season. And the wheels came off a little bit, and they ate straight three and outs. And part of that was Todd Bowles made some adjustments. They started to play a little closer to the line of scrimmage. They were putting more guys in the box. Through 2 weeks, guys, there were three players in the NFL who had not faced a loaded box all season. Two of them played for Green Bay, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. And that's going to change. Teams are going to say, you have to run the ball against us to beat us. And we don't think you can throw over our heads. So here's eight guys in the box, one safety deep, and we dare you. The problem for the Patriots is 31st in success rate run defense and 31st in EPA per rush on defense. The run defense has been bad. And mm-hmm. So if that's going to be the thing, like how do you find a way to stop an offense that, yeah, has not looked great, but if they can run the ball, if they can run the ball, that unlocks everything for this offense. The play action game has been phenomenal to start the season. They've been getting those in breakers in behind linebackers. The linebackers are going to have to play so disciplined this week with the jet motion and the play action and all that stuff. The stuff that, by the way, the Patriots, it sounds like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, are trying to put in their offense because they see it working. And it does work for the Packers. So this season, the Packers are averaging almost 7 yards per carry when they use jet motion. It's wild. And so that's going to be, I think, where the rubber meets the road for this game is on both sides, who can stop the run better. And then, you know, obviously the quarterback play tends to be the difference in these games, and Brian Hoyer versus Aaron Rodgers.
It's okay. It's a fair fight. Go ahead. I'll say it for you. I mean, it's a total draw. It's at the OK Corral. There may not be a greater mismatch in the NFL this weekend than Brian Hoyer versus Aaron Rodgers. And we saw what happened last time. Brian Hoyer had to go in and substitute for a Patriots starting quarterback against another NFL great. Patriots defense actually kind of balled out, or showed out, as Stephon Gilmore said they had to, for a while, until eventually mistakes were made and the levee broke. And it was kind of just like a disappointing Monday night loss. I think most Patriots fans would be thrilled if the Patriots could keep this within a touchdown or the spread, which, by the way, opened at 10 and a half. You want to talk about moral victory Monday, Andy. If the Patriots only lose by 4 points, everyone in New England will be popping bottles and celebrating like, in Bill we trust. I knew they could do it. The guy's still a friggin' genius guy. But the line opened at 10 and a half, and now it's down to 9. Now, I know Mac Jones has told people in the building, don't count me out, but there's no way he's playing. It's Hoyer versus Rodgers. And
right.
I just want to sort of end on this because
I've counted him out.
Yeah, we all
everybody should. Has. I'm sure Please everybody, Matt LaFleur, everybody.
Yeah, anybody whose head is firmly planted on their shoulders and not up their derriere knows that Mac Jones is not playing, and it's Brian Hoyer with private first class Bailey Zappi behind him. But when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, like, he gave a whole love letter to a big tongue bath to Coach Belichick earlier this week, buttered him up real good on the Pat McAfee show, and I think they're
which is a Belichick move, by the way. No one loves to butter up other their opponents like Bill Belichick. I thought that was just like some Kaiser Soze stuff.
Yeah, borrowing a little bit from the Belichick dojo on that one to butter him up in advance. That was like, sorry, Bill, we're gonna try not to beat you by too much, or at least like you know the veil of friendship in advance of destruction on Sunday. But where are Packers fans with Aaron Rodgers, and where are things with Rodgers and the team, Rodgers and fans? Like, he's such a quirky dude. At one moment lovable, and then last year in the middle of COVID and everything else, everybody, you know, the what was it, inoculated routine. Like, then all of a sudden he was public enemy number one, immunized. Yeah, yeah. Where are they?
Well, first of all, do you guys want to see my toe? I can.
No, thank you. I hate feet.
So do I.
This is not the Rex Ryan appreciation.
The funny thing was that a week later, Billy Turner made that exact joke and pulled out his foot just to pimp Aaron Rodgers. Oh. If you'd asked me this question a year ago, I would have given you a very different answer, because I think Aaron Rodgers completely miscalculated how much support he had from Packer fans when he threw his hissy fit last spring. I think he completely miscalculated, because I think he thought the reaction would be what it was right away, which was they haven't done enough to get him receivers, and this has been an issue for years, and yada, yada. And as we sort of moved along the summer, everyone was like, wait, do the Packers have the best roster in the league? Like, what is he whining about? What is really going on here? What is really the problem? Because the reporting then was he wants people fired. They gave him the contract offer that he wanted, made him the highest paid quarterback in the league. He didn't take it. And a lot of Packer fans were just sort of like, then screw this guy. Like, if he doesn't want to be here, we'll ride with Jordan Love. And I think that there is still some residual with that. And I think after, you know, any loss, there's going to be fans just going, we missed the chance. We could have gotten 3 first round picks. Like, we would have taken the Russell Wilson package that they got a year later, all that stuff. But then when he came back and Devontae Adams left, I think what happened is it flipped again. It was a little bit like Russell Wilson in Oklahoma City, right? Like, Kevin Durant wanted to go. Russell Westbrook wanted to stay. And even though the fans liked Kevin Durant more, because Devontae Adams had the highest Q rating of a Packer player, like the highest approval rating of a Packer player in I can't remember how long. He was absolutely beloved. So when he said, I'm out, and Rodgers said, I'm staying, then everyone was just sort of like, hell yeah, Rodgers is actually our guy. I knew it all along. The media, those liars, they made up all this drama, and then all the stuff that Rodgers was saying all along about how everyone was lying about what he was saying. They feel vindicated by that, even though he was saying all the stuff that the media said he was saying, and we don't have to dive too far into that. But they're back, and they're on his side now. And ever since he told the Bears and 70,000 Bears fans that he owned them, like, I'm not going to say he can do no wrong, but like, even amid the COVID stuff, fans were going, yeah, but that's my guy. And I think he's now, since he said, I'm going to retire here, this is where I want to be, I think he's become re-embraced by fans. There's still a minority fan base saying, this guy still sucks. And I still think there are some people that are like, this guy's a weirdo, but he's our weirdo. And so we're just going to have to deal with it. Same way the Broncos fans are with Mr. Cringe, Russell Wilson. And, you know, I think even to an extent, like, there are some Patriots fans that I, in my life, that I've heard from that felt that way about Tom Brady. Like, yeah, this guy's kind of a weirdo, but like, he's our weirdo, and I'll buy avocado ice cream if it helps us win Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think that was very true for like the second half of the Brady tenure, the last 10 years, as he sort of the Giselle, Alex Guerrero, TB12, Tom Brady.
What's going on with his face, by the way?
Well, that's what happens when you get face work done. And then if I've been told face fillers like fade and sag and deteriorate.
And also he's like really sad right now. And he needs like, you know what he needs? He just needs like a brat and a plate of curds. He just like, he needs.
I always need that.
Yeah, my resting state when I'm awake is needing brat and curds. Yeah. As well. Yeah, no, like he's just like, he's so, like his cheeks are all sallow. He looks like a weird, he looks like the Madame Tussauds version of Tom Brady right now.
He looks like. Why does he have better hair now than he's ever had in his whole life?
Because it's all fake. His teeth are fake. His face is fake. And his hair is fake. It's all fake. Fake. Okay, sorry. Rant over. So now, before we let you go, I have to get the simple. By the way, if there are actually Packers fans who thinks Aaron Rodgers suck, tell them we'll trade right now Brian Hoyer for Aaron Rodgers anytime they want. Like right up until game time. We'll swap jerseys if need be.
You can pick it. And also, they can have any two players with the last name of Jones because we have four. Pick your favorite two.
But as we even Mac, we got Mac, Jonathan, the best corner in the NFL, according to Fitzy, but we'll see how that plays out over the next 14 weeks, including this one. So you clearly, the Packers are the better team. The Packers are at home. This might be talent-wise the greatest delta in a QB matchup in NFL history. Forget this season. I mean, pure physical ability, Aaron Rodgers versus Brian Hoyer, not fair. So
that's Buster Douglas against Mike Tyson.
It is. Except we'll be watching. It won't be at midnight in Japan. So how does this play out? I mean, is this a blowout? Are you laying the points? How do you see this game playing out?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the game is going to be particularly close. It's not going to be some like 42 to nothing ass kicking like that. Like I just don't think Bill Belichick teams, even diminished versions of them, that doesn't happen to them very often. But I'm looking at like 28-13, that kind of thing. Like, I just don't know how with Brian Hoyer against this defense, they're going to score more than 14 points. And I think with the run defense, the way that it is for New England, I don't know how they're going to stop this offense. So like, I think it's going to be a low drives number game. Every game so far for the Packers has been low drive numbers. I think they've faced the second fewest number of plays in the league. So it's going to be like, because no one throws any incompletions, like it's all two shell. So everything gets completed underneath and tackled in bounds, or it's a run play. So there's no incomplete passes. Like this is going to be a 2-hour game. It's going to be great for those of us who have to cover this thing, because you get to be done and go have dinner with your family if you want. Or if you don't want, that's a problem for you, but that's a different issue.
Or if you're Tom Brady when they're not home.
Right. Exactly. So I think it's that kind of game. I think the Packers are going to be able to run it too well for this Patriots offense to be able to match points with them. And I think the Packers defense has found its identity. They're playing with this nickel mindset where they drafted Quay Walker, who's been really good for them. And I just think that players like that are going to be the difference for them moving forward in a game where you just like the quarterback matchup is not close. So, yeah, short of a major bed shitting, I think that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, can I ask this quick question? If Aaron Rodgers got hurt on the first play of the game and it's Jordan Love versus Brian Hoyer, who are you taking?
I don't know that it changes the defense much. Because we saw in Kansas City, the defense absolutely ball out against Patrick Mahomes. So I still think the Packers would win, but I would take at least a touchdown off it. So you're looking at like 20-13, that kind of thing, or 17-13. I still think the Packers would win. I think Jordan Love is one of the better backup QBs in the league. I think he might be like the third best quarterback in the NFC North, because I don't think Justin Fields is it. I'm sorry to tell you. So
the only one, I guess you're not a huge believer in Goff, huh?
No, I think Goff is ahead of Jordan Love. And I think Cousins is ahead of Jordan Love and then Aaron Rodgers. So then, yeah, he's fourth.
Yeah. And probably better in primetime with Kirk Cousins with his 2-37 record. That's the next time the Packers play the Vikes. It just needs to be in primetime. And you guys are absolutely golden. Set. You can go to theleap.substack.com if you'd like to subscribe and read Peter's work. He's also the host of Locked on Packers, which is the daily Packers podcast. He does an awesome job You can follow him on the tweet machine at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, thank you so much for the time, my man. You have earned an ice cold line and Kugel on me and Andy. Go ahead and have a second. It's my favorite regional beer in America, so I wish I could grab a couple right now as well. Thanks so much for the time, man. And it sounds like Andy and I, if the game goes according to your plan, are going to be on early with the post game Sunday, Andy. So get ready for extra yapping. Peter, have a great game Sunday. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy some Ganny Tall Boys on me.
Wow, he even knew our beer. This guy's the best. Peter Bukowski, everyone. Some good stuff there from Peter Bukowski. Once again, you can follow his podcast at Locked On Packers. And of course, he's at Peter_Bukowski. Good stuff. A lot of stats. I think people might be sleeping on this team, not just this week, but on the whole on the season as well. Though I am kind of curious why the line went from 10.5 down to 9. Where's all that public money coming in on the Patriots? To maybe get an idea of what's going on with the Pats, our guy Jumbo, Andy Hart, had a chance to catch up with Mass Live's Chris Mason down at Gillette this week. Take it away, Andy.
Back for another 6 rings and football things here at Gillette Stadium. I am joined this week, as we have teased every week, we hope to speak with a Patriots beat writer. This week, the lucky, not so lucky, we'll find out in the next 12 to 15 minutes. Candidate is Chris Mason, masslive.com. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at @ByChrisMason, which I was just told by him. I wasn't always sure what the handle is. But Chris, thanks for joining us. And obviously, topic of the week, the topic of the next few weeks, the day-by-day topic, I guess, will be Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, his injury. You were obviously at Bill Belichick's press conference at Gillette Stadium on Wednesday. I guess just first and foremost, what was your general takeaway from Bill's press conference?
He's taking it day by day.
Well played.
But no, I mean, I think he doesn't want to give away too much. He never wants to give away too much. But there were some nuggets to take away from that. I mean, the day by day is going to grab all the headlines. But, you know, he said that if he's not back, Brian Hoyer will start this weekend, which is something for him to say, right? And, I mean, he's always performative, but I thought there was some stuff to glean from it.
And my takeaway, and I've been in a lot of those over the years, the one thing that I noted today is it was not confrontational. I think the On to Cincinnati was more confrontational, the famous one back then. This, Bill almost had a coy or playful smirk on his face through most of the day-by-days. The one thing I will ask you, and me being the guy that has to fill 4 hours of radio occasionally, do you think the day-by-day increases the pressure on Mac Jones to return sooner rather than later, regardless of what maybe the expected timetable is?
I mean, I think it does do that a little bit, right? Because day-by-day and week-by-week are different things. And even if you go back to Mac's press conference on Monday when he had a similar, like, day-by-day, day-by-day, like, one of the last questions was, is there any significance to you saying day-by-day instead of week-by-week? And he was like, yeah. He's like, then he like was like, oh, but we're just taking it day by day. So I do think there's a different expectation, right? Like, you're trying to get ready to go every day. It's not, I'm just going to be sitting here for the next 4 weeks. And, you know, when 4 weeks roll around, then maybe we'll see. I do think there's an expectation there that, like, yeah, get back as quick as you can.
So one of the other aspects of this, and people are tying it into the history of Bill Belichick, injuries, Rob Gronkowski, players that have some leverage, is are they on the same page? Or Bill, the team, when you hear second opinion, some people jump to the conclusion, oh, you didn't like the first opinion. Are you seeking out an opinion that more agrees with your side as the player? Where do you stand on that? Do you think this is an early test of the relationship to see maybe how all in or how all Patriot Mac Jones is?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't really see it that way. I think it's more a 24-year-old kid who is weighing his options, you know, where this is really, like we heard him say on EEI this week, the only other injury he's really ever had is falling off the monkey bars and breaking his arm. So I think it's kind of a new thing. And when you're that age and you hope to have a long career ahead of you, I don't think you want to have surgery if you don't need to, right? Like, that's just kind of common sense, especially if the timelines kind of add up the same either way. So I think that's more him just exploring his options and being like, all right, like, what do I need to do to get back here? And how do the different timelines add up?
I think I'm glad you brought that up because I do think that's important. Not only does he not have a history to fall back on or a trust even to fall back on with the Patriots in terms of injuries, he doesn't have a history or a trust to fall back on anywhere with any doctor, with his own body. You know, he doesn't know, you know, if he were a 15-year veteran who'd had 27 surgeries, you know, four on his knees, three on his shoulder, he probably would say, yeah, cut me however many times you want. I've been through this before. But I think the newness of this, having, you know, said never missed a game due to injury, so this is a new experience, not having an injury, I do think that's a layer here. But transitioning, I think you and I both agree, we're not going to see Mac Jones for a while. So that means we're going to see Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer against Aaron Rodgers. One of the more interesting matchups in NFL history, but in a weird way, the divide in pure physical talent between these two guys on Sunday is probably the greatest delta we've ever seen. But what are your expectations from Brian Hoyer? Is there a huge drop-off? Not a huge drop-off? Can he do the job? Can he for a couple of weeks? Where do you stand on Brian Hoyer?
From Mac, I think there is a significant drop-off there. And just watching them in training camp, watching them like even in preseason games, I think, you know, Mac went to a Pro Bowl last year as a rookie. And, you know, you could say injury replacement, whatever. But either way, the fact that he's in that conversation, and then you go to a quarterback who has not won a game as a starter since 2016. Like, that's just the reality of it. So I think what they're going to ask Brian to do is, you know, just try and play mistake-free and keep it respectable. You know, I don't think anyone is expecting the Patriots to go in there and, like, no one's expecting Hoyer to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, keep it respectable. Don't, like, just don't turn it into an embarrassing thing. Like, you know, just do your job, operate within what you can do. Don't try and do too much and just, like, try and keep it simple.
Yeah, I think it's interesting perspective because you're right. He's 0 for his last 11, and Mac Jones won 10 games as a rookie a year ago. So there's a divide there. There's supposed to be a divide. One was a first-round pick, the 15th overall pick. One is a late-round journeyman backup. But then you look at the more recent, Mac Jones just threw three interceptions. Mac Jones is 1-2. So take care of the football. Don't turn it over. And I guess that leads us to the Mike Lombardi comments this week on GM Shuffle that maybe Mac was in danger of losing his job if he kept throwing interceptions, which I think is borderline ridiculous. But hey, he's got a podcast. We all have podcasts. We want people to listen. You say things sometimes. But for the here and for the now, maybe the bar is not really all that high in terms of what Brian Hoyer has to do to just be, you know, good enough or competitive for they have no other options that are any better right now.
Yeah. I mean, I do think those comments are like borderline crazy where it's like, Mac's going to get benched for Hoyer? Like, right. I just don't see that as a realistic thing. And obviously, Bailey Zappe is still a ways away. Like, when you have Bill this week or today essentially being like, yeah, it's Brian on Sunday. Not, oh, we'll see. We'll see how the practice week goes. It's like, no, that's Bill's way of saying, like, he's not close. So I do think there's a significant drop-off there. And, yeah, sorry, what was the question again?
just in terms of the bar being set, like, yeah, there's a drop-off in general because Mac Jones, first-round franchise quarterback, but what he actually did most recently was not play at an overly high level.
Yeah, but I think that's not really Mac. I think that's the offense as a whole where they've been janky all summer, and it just feels like there's, like, even with the zone running stuff over the summer, it feels like there's somebody that's missing the assignment on every single play. Like, they're not on the same page, and I don't think that's just on the quarterback. And I think some of it is what they're asking Mac to do this year, which is throw up more 50-50 balls, take more chances, push down the field. And I think you do that with Mac because you think he has a higher ceiling than Brian has right now. You know, with Hoyer, it's like, you know, he's not going to go out there and sling it. He's not going to be that like 50-yard bomb guy. It's like, all right, just try and dink and dunk, make the safe throws, make the smart throws. And like, I mean, they're what, 10, 11 point underdogs. Like, even if you keep it around that spread, it's respectable in Green Bay. I just don't think they want to get embarrassed this week. And then, you know, try and get right when you have the soft schedule coming up, try and build a little momentum and good things happen there. But yeah, I think those two are just on different planets.
If they are able to, let's just say, keep it respectable this week, cover, as they say in the gambling industry, and then figure things out in the next couple of weeks and without Mac, Who are some guys, because we always hear backup quarterback, other players say, well, you know, we all need to do a little bit more now. We need to share the load. Who are some guys that you would say these three or four guys need to step up, because you're not going to win because of Brian Hoyer. Other guys are going to have to do the job.
I look at the tight ends right away, specifically Hunter Henry, who was a big factor in the offense last year. Like, he was, after Jacoby Myers, he was Mac's go-to guy in the, like, especially in the red zone too. Like, when they got down there, he was going to Hunter all the time, and he really just hasn't done much this year. And you can lump Jonnu Smith into that too, where I think the bar or the expectations for him are lower based on that year. But it, you want your tight ends playing well if you have a quarterback that's kind of limited, you know, like middle of the field guys, hit them, get open, and try and make something happen after the catch. So those are two that I look at right away. And then the offensive line, like, you really, you need them communicating and on the same page, which I think that's been an issue where you've seen, it's like basic stunts that they're not picking up, you know, like a twist that you see in high school and guys run through. One of the sacks last week, they had seven blockers and five Ravens coming, and there's still a free rusher that hits Mac. I think they, like, need to just shore up that communication, because, you know, they have the talent, they have the guys there. It's just a matter of execution.
First game out of the gates here for Hoyer. I think we all expect they probably should lose, even though the Packers are not exactly, you know, running through opponents right now. But they played, they're coming off a, was it 14-13 win over Tom Brady and the Bucks? But that Bucks defense has shown that it's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers still trying to find his receivers. Their defense is probably maybe better than it's played at times. Just in terms of this game, this matchup going to Lambeau Field on Sunday, how do you think this plays out? I know you said earlier you think they maybe could keep it within the 10.5 points, whatever it is. But how do you think the game plays out?
I think a lot of it depends on whether or not the guys that you pick to step up actually do. With Stevenson and Harris, you know, I know it's kind of like road game cliche, but if they can go and run the ball and bleed some clock and just give Aaron Rodgers fewer possessions, I think if they keep the score down, then that's like best case scenario for them, right? Just get Stevenson and Harris going 4 or 5 yards a carry, bleed the clock, and just run it down that way. I think that's best case scenario. I don't know if that's the most realistic scenario.
He's Chris Mason, masslive.com. On Twitter, you can get him at @ByChrisMason. Make sure you throw that by in there, BY Chris Mason. I'm Andy Hart. This is the Six Rings Podcast. If you want to follow us, rate us, we would very much be happy that you did that. Download the Odyssey app or get us anywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you normally get your podcasts.
All right, Andy, we had a chance to hear about what's going on with the Packers. And, of course, nice little interview. Thank you very much, Chris Mason from Mass Live, telling us about Mac and the Pats as they prepare to take on the Pack. I have tried every single possible way to talk myself into Axel Brian Hoyer finding a way, as we mentioned in the Packers interview, to pull a Buster Douglas and somehow keep up with, if not shock the world, and knock out the Mike Tyson of football that is the Packers. Hell, I'd be thrilled if it even was like Rocco Mediate versus Tiger Woods. I'm looking for any possible underdog story in the world. Andy, is there any way the Patriots can keep this game as close as they did the Ravens game last Sunday?
Yes. So we know that everybody thinks Aaron Rodgers will crush Brian Hoyer. And we think that Peter even believes that Jordan Love would beat Brian Hoyer. But the good news is third string Packers quarterback and old friend Danny Etling, if he has to play, I think the Patriots have a chance. Other than that, no, I'm not feeling great about this. And the more you talk to Peter about the Packers, like, he gives you the impression, whether it's Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson coming back or the defense, that there's the opportunity that the Packers are underrated right now. Because I've heard a lot of Patriots fans like, oh, look at them. They only scored 14 points, and those came in the beginning of the game. And I was like, first of all, yeah, they're finding themselves. Second of all, you're not the Bucs defense. Your defense is not the Bucs defense. That's a pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say where I disagree with Peter a little bit, I think he is underrating the Patriots' run defense, and I think some of those numbers were swayed by last week's performance. Big plays and Lamar Jackson everything that happened in that game. I actually thought their run defense was pretty good the first 2 weeks. Down in Miami, I think it was under 3 yards a carry. Then it was under 50 yards for Najee Harris. So if the Patriots' run defense steps up, I'll feel better. The problem is I don't feel great against the matchup against Aaron Rodgers. You had a special QB on the other side a week ago, Lamar Jackson, who looked like he was going to make whatever plays he needed to make along the way to beat you, no matter how many points you scored. Same thing.
And you could argue that basically the Packers receivers are kind of on par with, if not equivalent to, the Ravens receivers. It's just that the Ravens happen to have one of the three best tight ends in football, and Mark Andrews, right, who had himself a game last week as well. No, I hear you. And look, Rodgers, when he's on, is a clinician. He's a surgeon. Like, he throws freaking lasers out there, Mr. Bigglesworth. And I expect him to be on point because he's never really had a signature Aaron Rodgers game. No, I did. Excuse me. 2014, that was a hell of a game. The 27-21 or 26-21 victory against the Patriots. That was a hell of a game. So he did have one signature Aaron Rodgers game. 26-21, yes. Okay. You used a computer. I used the ultimate supercomputer, which is my size Patriots, 8 1/4.
Press release. Aaron, all right. And company,
someone's
a nice
humble
document.
Bragging that they went to the stadium this week. Good for you. Point being.
I had to see Axel in person.
He did have a signature Aaron Rodgers game. And then in 2018, he was stymied at the stadium. We all know how that season ended up for the Patriots. I'm not looking for him to try to bury Belichick or like deliver the death knell for the Patriots, which, you know, we've heard 5,000 times already in this life. Like, it's the death of the dynasty. We're long since past that. I just want the Pats to be competitive this week. My fear is that with Lawrence Guy out of practice a bunch of times this week, a key part of the defensive line, maybe not the biggest or the strongest person, but, you know, the Ravens started running a hell of a lot more and running better once Larry Guy was out last week. If he can't go this week, now you're subbing in the Equales and the Kyle Davises and whatnot for him in his place. And you're looking at a great offensive line, a really strong and healthy offensive line with the Packers. Just like any team, so goes their trenches, so goes the team. And two awesome running backs. Aaron Jones, super versatile, flex him out wide. He's a dynamite receiver as well. An old pal, A.J. Dillon from B.C., like, he's a hammer. He is an absolute hammer. They don't probably care about winning by 30. They're just going to want to grind the Pats down this week and just get out with the dub, I bet.
Yeah, and that's where it could end up. I know the number in the 10 range for depending on when you gut it during the week, where you gut it. I think there are some people that are confident that, somewhere, sort of like Peter said, like, maybe the Patriots can keep it close. They don't play. But the only problem I have is, the Patriots haven't been that team really for a year and a half. Like, they do make mistakes. They give, you know, good quarterbacks, good teams opportunities. So I do not feel good about the Patriots' chances. I don't, you know, you look at the quarterback matchup that I joked, just the skill is one thing. Aaron Rodgers, one of the top 3-4 skilled quarterbacks in the history of the game. And Brian Hoyer is who he is. And he's 0 for his last 11 as a starter. Mm-hmm. The last win barely counts because it was against the Lions when, you know, they were the Lions before.
When was the last win? I haven't bothered looking that up. I'll be completely
honest. It was the Lions. It was 2016, week 4, something like that. I looked it up the other day. He was with the Bears and it was against the Lions. But like, he's going against a guy whose streak is MVPs, consecutive MVPs. You can't win a game over 11 chances. This guy wins back-to-back MVPs. So, you know, if you stop the run, let's just say the run defense does a good job for the Patriots. Let's just say Lawrence guys fill in fine. You're fine. Well, their receivers are not incapable. And I'll be honest, after listening to Peter, I'm more up on their young receivers when he's talking about Watson blowing by people scary fast, kind of what we were hoping.
And Globs has the moves plus sneaky good speed.
Yes. And, you know, so that, and it's Aaron Rodgers. I generally, that veteran, we saw Brady do it at times. Yep, I'll win a game with Kembrell Tompkins. I'll win a game with Aaron Dobson or whatever. We certainly saw Manning over the years, the Austin Collies of the world. That's who Aaron Rodgers is. And I'm just not sold that the Patriots defense is good enough right now to either take away the run, make them one dimensional through the air, and then pounce on that opportunity, or vice versa. So, and then I'm fearful that the turnovers are going to continue against that defense. Brian Hoyer, I know. The spin is that the KC game, it was weird because it was COVID and it was a Tuesday night and they flew out late in the planes and he's worried he had COVID and he didn't get the reps. But I'm sorry, he is who he is going up against a pretty good pass rush, a pretty good defense. And let's not forget, this offense has been giving up runaway rushers with Mac Jones out there. So the communication could even take a step back. So if you get some runaway rushers that are hitting Brian Hoyer, okay, you hit him as he releases. Oh, my God, the ball's floating through the air, interception. I don't think the turnovers are going to stop. You know what I do think are going to stop? The big plays that Mac was starting to hit. I'm concerned that those are going to disappear.
Goodbye.
If this, if, if this offense doesn't have big plays, then they literally are just Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. And I'm sorry, I'm not ready to say that the Patriots can run for 280 and just win the game.
No, I mean, I want to say that this is the Ramondre Stevenson breakout game, but he's basically going up against what he hopes to be one day in Aaron Jones as well. Damian Harris, A.J. Dillon, kind of comparable running backs as well. Their offensive line has more continuity and is healthier at this point. And their defensive line is way better. You heard the way Peter talked about Kenny Clark as like the second coming of Aaron Donald as well. That could be a game wrecker right there. I'm going to set the over-under at 20.5 number of pass attempts from Brian Hoyer. If the Patriots go under that, that means they have actually kept the game close. If he goes over that, there's not a chance in hell that they're going to come away from this game with the win. And again, I meant it when I said it. Like, if this is a 7-point or under defeat, Monday is a massive moral victory Monday, and we'll be borderline popping bottles and celebrating on the Six Rings postgame show on Sunday night.
It'll still be 1-3, but
yeah, I know. But at least there'll be hope that maybe when they get to the softer part of the schedule with the Lions, who I think are more game and tougher than others may give them credit for regionally, and the Jets, they'll have a chance. So I don't see Rodgers lighting up the scoreboard with 5 touchdowns the way that LaMarvelous did last week. I got Packers 23, Patriots 13.
So you could have the Patriots covering at 10.5, right?
If they did, I got it at 10.5. I put a little sprinkle on earlier this week. I'm saying if you can get the Patriots at the original line, you should feel goodish. I love the under in this game.
Was that goodish?
Goodish. Well, good-ish. Well,
not
adjacent.
Good.
Okay.
Good-ish.
Okay-ish.
So I don't think they keep it close. I actually think it might be closer, and then a late interception turnover, something sways it, easy score for the Packers. I think the Patriots probably give up 30 again. I'm going to say something like 33-13 Packers.
A Larry Bird to 13. Woof.
Yeah. Cause right now the Patriots are unlucky. 13 unlucky number. They're just, things are not going the Patriot way right now. And,
you don't say.
That's problematic when you're headed to Lambeau Field to face Aaron Rodgers and you have your Hoyer, the Destroyer, Axel, call him whatever you want to call him. I'll call him a journeyman backup quarterback who's not ready to go.
He was never intended to play. He's supposed to just be a de facto assistant quarterbacks coach, offensive coordinator, slash football academy on the weekends guy, somewhere between Canton and Foxborough. Instead, now he's been pressed into service. I hope we don't see Bailey Zappe on Sunday, because if we do, that means shit's gone real south real fast. This is tough, Andy. I mentioned it earlier. I'll say it again. Like, the fracture in Patriots Nation, this week, Hoyer the Destroyer, if you will, has a chance to, like, hold both sides together as best as he possibly can. But if they go out there and they are offensively inept and, you know, they're flopping around like a fish on, you know, you're a boatsman. You know, the fish is just flopping around on the boat, sadly, and then you just put it down and just gut it right there. Now you just knock it out, just billy club it. If the Patriots are that fish this Sunday, then I'm not going to – it's going to be brutal around here, because then people are going to be talking about, like, this team's going to lose to the Vikings, the Lions and the Jets, and they have no chance. Like, Hoyer, he's got a job Sunday, and it's not just to, like, take the ball and hand it to Harris and Stevenson. He's got to try to keep them close.
So you think he is pulling together portions of Patriot Nation? What was
Hoyer
that?
The healer. Hoyer the healer. That's who he's going to have to be.
Did you ever learn about the early settlers used to, what was it called? Drawn and quartered? Or maybe it was the medieval. Yeah, medieval times.
That was medieval,
drawn and quartered. That's what's going to happen to Hoyer. He's going to get torn into two different directions.
He's going to be William Wallace being played. Well, we're all going to probably feel like we're in an Iron Maiden Sunday watching this one. But let's hope that Hoyer the healer can keep it together. For our producer, Justin Turpin, great job, buddy. Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers, who did a great job joining us. Chris Mason, thank you very much for your time and perspective from Mass Live. I'm your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, at Fitzy GFY. He's Andy Hart, at Jumbo Hart. We will talk to you guys Sunday immediately following Patriots Packers on the Six Rings postgame show. Please rate, review, and subscribe the pod. Follow it at Six Rings Pod. And we will talk to you later. Go Pats.
See you.